WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Such an honor to be with you tonight. Listen, we have so many exciting things going on, and we are the Bride Ministries. I just cannot wait to tell you about them all. First of all, we launched our new website, which is watvradio.com, and on there it has a lot of more exciting things. First of all, I want to say welcome to our new director, Tristan Major, and also to our new assistant director, Pastor Angela Walker. And these are going to serve all of you ministries well. And so far, we have about 15 to 20 new hosts that are in the process of being trained, and they are going to be able to interview you people from all over the world. It is our honor here to highlight what God is doing in your ministry. And listen, we believe this with the bottom of our heart, that through this ministry, we are releasing the sound in the earth of unity in the Bride of Christ. Okay, and here is Mr. Tristan.
Hello, Bride. It's an honor to get to speak to you. I just wanted to mention that you can. We are honored to serve all of you and highlight your ministries and get the word out about what God is doing through you and with your ministry and in your area, even if you want to highlight what's going on with other churches around where you are. It's all about unity, and it's all about promoting everyone and bringing everyone together in unity under Christ. If you would like to advertise on us, we offer many options. We offer different options on our website at watbradio.com/advertise. And if you just want to donate to help us stay on the air and take care of whatever we need to take care of, whatever God presents before us, it's watbradio.com/donate. And here's June again.
Hallelujah. Listen, Brian, the Lord has blessed us with the money to start watb.tv. This is going to start in the fall. We are so excited to bring unity at a new level and to be preparing platforms for the bride to be able to have a voice to reach the harvest. Amen. So stay tuned to hear. Now go to our website at watb.tv and register if you're interested in having a show on there or interested in participating in that. Amen. Now also, if you'll go to our website at wearethebride.us, you will see many different ways that you can engage with us. You can become a volunteer on our volunteer page. We need many volunteers, web designers, graphic designers, people that will just take calls, people that are prayer warriors, people that can just type, people that can visit us in the different cities while we're traveling, anything, just go on there. Listen, we have the motto, just as I am. We will take you just as you are. If you have the heart to love and to give back to the bride, this is the place to be, because we want all of us to come together. Look, this is God's ministry, and so we're just serving Him in the spirit of excellence. Amen. Now listen, all of you from other nations that listen to this broadcast, we now have a new director named Henny Major that is able to focus purely on the bride overseas. And that, if you go to our website, wearethebride.us/nations, you'll be able to register your nation. And also, she has a page on Facebook, and we want to build a relationship with you. So that is through WATB Nations. Okay, also, the WATB Bride Fest. Bride Fest is a ceremony of purification, basically. It's just giving your life 100% to the Lord, dropping all of your dreams and the way you think your life should be and everything, just laying it down for the call that God wants to do with us. It's rising us up as the army of the living God in this last moment. So check out the website at WATB Bride Fest. We do have one coming up July 17th and 18th at the Hopkinsville Prayer Center. If Hopkinsville Revival Center, if you can go ahead and mark your calendar on July the 17th and 18th. Also, if you have prayer requests, listen, we have an intercession team now. I think we got how many, Tristan? 12 or 15 people on the intercession team. Submit your prayer request. And listen, thank you so much. Now, Tristan wants to say one more thing.
We'd really like it if the bride would lift up June as she's going on a month and a half long trip. She's going to be out of town, and she's basically going on faith. So if y'all would lift her up, that God would provide for her over the next month and a half, and that God's will be done, and that he would show up mightily as he, yes, as she travels to meet all of you that have been on. Some of you have been on the radio. Some of you are going to be on the radio in the future. It's just a way of blessing and helping to unify the body of Christ even further. So just keep her in your prayers and your thoughts and lift her up to God as she goes forward and does his will as best she's able.
Hallelujah, bride. Okay, we pray that you enjoy this broadcast. God bless you. To the Mama June Hour, where we tell different stories that highlight God. I pray that you sit back and enjoy yourself today. Amen. Broadcast today is with Pastor David Meeks in Picayune, Mississippi. He is the pastor of World Outreach Revival Center, and he preached an awesome sermon this morning. So sit back and enjoy the word of the Lord with Pastor David Meeks.
I don't know how that works, but I'm just going to say this. When I see them little babies over there worshiping the Lord and dancing, I'm talking the little bitty ones now, the itty bitty ones, something just stirs inside of me. Now for you old folks, I get excited about you too. I really do. And but you know, you're like old enough to slap me if you want to. And some of us are set in our ways. And I get excited when you step up into the place that God has for you. But these babies, they just stir my spirit. Hey, keep on worshiping the Lord back there. I'm going to check you out, man. Back there, just, you know, hands raised, jumping and... Because I'm speaking about, how old are you now? You're 12. I'm speaking about a 12-year-old this morning, so I was thinking about you this morning when I was preparing you. But Sister June, stand up if you would. I love this lady. Just turn around and smile at the people. Just let them know how you're doing. Turn around and smile. Do a whole turnaround. There you go. She's got one of them faces, sister. She's got one of the smiles that, man, as soon as I saw her, and you know, I heard her on the radio when we did a little interview. Well, as soon as I saw her, she walked in and saw this beaming stuff coming off of her. I was like, man, I just love this lady. She's speaking tonight. So we want to encourage you to come. And we're prejudiced in this church because we don't have very many women come up and preach, Casey, on the revival. We But I think, is she our first? Is she our first from the revival time that we've had? Yeah, so you guys need to come and support her tonight. She's going to share some things with you. She also, for those that don't know, you've been on video this morning up here anyway. And she has a radio ministry and a developing a television ministry, a book publishing ministry. There's a lot going on in her life. She'll share that tonight. So please come tonight expecting something great. Also, everybody just look at a little young child and say, "You are so beautiful." Now, here's what we're re-putting back together. Been here 28 years, and certain areas of ministry are difficult to handle. Number one, we this week should have our nursery up and working since we have air. Amen. For that temporary moment, we'll let parents go back there if they have to and come back out. But somewhere in the future, we're going to put together some nursery workers and take care of that. Also, our children's ministry is so vitally important. Amen. Vitally important. And my daughter Mandy, wave your hand if you would, please, has been working that ministry for some time. And we need help back there. She needs, Diana, raise your hand if you would. She has a whole crew of people cleaning the church. And it works with different teams coming in and cleaning. And also, she needs some more help on that too, by the way. That's in your bulletin. So if you'd like to help clean the church, you know, the more people you have, it's like once every 2 months you have to clean the church. Wave your hand again, Diana. So talk to this lady. But also, if you'd like to help us with children's church. Now, this is a vital ministry. And we have a paper in the back for you to sign your name. Mandy will train you. She'll work with you. Am I right? She's going to work right beside you and show you how to do it. She has a real gifting in this area. But we need all the help we get. So if you're new and you say, "I'm new at it, I don't know what to do," she will hands-on train you how to do this ministry. And I'm going to say this. The brother that came last night, Ron Harbonke, he said he ministered with him quite a bit. How many have heard his name, Ron Harbonke? How many saw on video the altar call, I think in the Philippines, where 1 million people got saved at one time? You know, how would you like to give an altar call and 1 million people get saved? I think some people even got injured in their trying to get saved experience because they were kind of like a mob running to Jesus. What an incredible ministry. He was a baby one time. He was a baby. And somewhere somebody probably spoke into his life, was babysitting. Billy Graham was a baby. All these great ministers were babies, and it took somebody changing their diapers. It took somebody to be there. Well, how much greater is it for us as adults to sacrifice a little time and say, "You know what? I'm going to give of my life into that child's life to see them become what God wants them to become." Amen. And sometimes it takes a little sacrifice. But Pastor Marcus will say the same thing with me. Anyone that's a minister in the house, you encountered this. But I know there's times that we have just spent just 2 seconds with a young person or an adult speaking a word to them, and that was it. And later on found out that that word changed their life completely. So don't underestimate the value of ministry. Well, Brother Dave, I might miss something that goes on in the main sanctuary, but you might get something that goes on in the back with the children. Did you hear me? And I can receive all day long, but when I seize the opportunities to give, that's where real blessing comes in. Amen?
Amen.
So I'd love for some of you to give it with Mandy, and that's why we haven't been taking the children out. The air is working back there now. Things are in order. We just have to have some help. And so one encouragement that. So sign up that. Also, and I'm going to speak in a minute, and I won't be long. Bridget has a paper in the back, a kind of a petition. We'd like you to read it and sign it if you would before you leave today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to do this way for today. Grab your Bible in your hand. If you don't have your Bible, grab your phone. You should have a Bible in that. If you don't have a phone or a Bible, you're in bad shape. I normally say, if you don't have a Bible, put your hand in your heart. But if you don't have a phone or a Bible, if you have a phone, you need to get the Bible in your phone. It's free. But if you don't have a phone or a Bible, then you're in trouble. So grab the hand of the person next to you and say, pray for me. And say this with an attitude of faith. This is the Word of God. Everything that says I am,
I am.
Everything that says I can do,
I can do.
Everything that says I have,
I have.
When I hide it in my heart,
and
let me form in my mouth. When I speak in faith, the nation, the creative, our God, that causes me to walk in victory, success, deliverance, healing, and prosperity. Come on, give me a big hand of praise. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke. I stopped telling people, or no, I haven't stopped, I'm lying to you. I should stop telling people what type of sermon it will be, because you never know. But I want to go to the book of Luke, and we're going to start in just a minute in chapter 2. Chapter 2 in the book of Luke. Make sure I got my scriptures ready here. Last night, this morning, as I woke up, I said, God, what am I speaking on today? And I want you to listen to me close. The older I get, I don't know, when I was younger, I just preached with fire and exuberance and, you know, wow, an awesome thing from God. The older I'm getting, maybe because I'm getting closer to checking out. I don't know if that's what the reasoning, but I feel like it's important to hear what the ministers or the pastors or whoever they are, evangelists, have to say. If they have a word from God, we need to listen and take it in so that it might be a word that will just launch our life. And the Spirit of God began to show me last night, and then this morning again, a threshold. And if you don't know what a threshold is that bottom part under the door. And for example, I can stand on this side of this door all day long, and I can open the door to another place, another future, and I can stand right on the threshold. But if I don't pass over the threshold, I miss out on what God wants to do. So I can be here all day long praising God, and this is one place that God brought me, but then if He wants me on that side of the door, I must be willing to cross over that threshold. And we've had prophetic words, and any of you that have been in churches long enough, you've heard God say more than one time, you know, you're crossing over a threshold, something's going on. Here's the thing, I find that threshold is a very difficult place to go. It's a very hard place to go because there's things in us that seem to be holding us back, whether it's fear or anxiety or uncertainty or whatever it may be, it holds us back. So I want to go to the book of Luke, chapter 2, and I want to read something to you just a little bit if I have the right scripture here. Yes, I do. Verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, his spirit filled with wisdom and grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he, meaning Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had finished their time there in Jerusalem, they came back on their way to go home. But the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and Mary didn't know it. Now, this is for a little funny. How would you like to know that you're responsible for the Savior of the world and lose Him? That's a bad day for anybody. So their panic was above the normal panic. You know, I'm a father and a grandfather and a spiritual father and a spiritual grandfather. And
When we lose one, Brother Marcus, we panic. We get, you know, if you miss church, I'm thinking right now, who missed today? I'm panicking on the inside because we don't want to lose one. Is everybody getting this? And so when we lose our children, how many have ever lost their children in Walmart? Don't raise your hand, I'm sorry. But you know, but when we do that, something inside of us begins to panic a little bit. Imagine you're in a place, there's no cell phones, there's no 911, there's no speedy car, and you go a day's journey away from a city with millions of people in it, and you lost the Messiah. I mean, but we can just make a call right now to someone and say, hey, check and see if my kid's in the backyard. Or call 911. They had no option. They lost him. So they supposed he had been with the company, and they went a day's journey, and they sought him with the kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. This is so somewhat romanticized in the King James Version, but let me read it. And when they could not find him, they freaked out. And he almost had a heart attack. And Mary started yelling at Joseph and said, why didn't you get him? Don't you know who he is? And Joseph said, I know who he is. And they all of a sudden are just flipping out from one end to the other. And she said, don't get a donkey, get a horse. We got to go fast. I don't know if that's how it went, but I think they had it. Now they're in a city with millions of people, and they're running all over the place to find him. I'm sure there was some serious prayers going up. Oh God, don't be mad. We tried to do our best. And it came to pass that after 3 days, did you hear me? 3 days of your child being lost. 3 days you lost the Messiah, the Savior. God appeared to you through an angel and said, you are highly favored among all women. I know you're going to take care of my son. You're going to have a baby. But Lord, I've not been with a man. He says, I don't need a man. I'm God. You're going to have a baby. He's going to be the Savior of the world. He's born. Wise men show up. I mean, they can bow down and give you frankincense and myrrh. Go, you're just freaked out because you're tending to the Savior of the world and you lose him. And you think, maybe when I go there, we'll find him. But it's 3 days you're looking. Now, I have grandsons. And these guys are, can I tell you what they did? I don't want to take too much time on this because I want to get you out of here, but you guys just tripped me out. Kate and Eli and Edison. We got a hold of a slide that goes, you know, kind of goes around like this, you know, little spinning tube thing. So Jeremy comes over, and the other day we put it up. The thing I love about boys is they've got imagination. They do. I mean, like Mandy left the house the other day, and she came home, and there's treads nailed to the tree, so he climbed to the top of the tree. You know, these guys just all think so. So we have one of them big floats, you know, it's like a round inner tube. They deflated it halfway and shoved it down inside this tube. But keep in mind, the tube swirls like this. It's lodged in there now, and Eli's on top of it, and then Caden is down. And it looked like a gun with someone, an old dude where they shoved the gunpowder down in there, and they're jammed up in this thing, and they're screaming, and all this stuff, cutting up and laughing, and all of a sudden, bam, just a leg comes flying out. You think you'll really come up with this stuff. Great imagination. One day, Caden went and took me across the street, and he had booby-trapped the whole wooded area over there. I mean, there's wires, trick wires, and all sorts of stuff. These guys are crazy. And I can imagine at 12 years old, you know, because at 12, you feel like you're older. You're still a little afraid, but you feel like you're old enough to you know, kind of be a man, but you know you're really not. And you don't want to show your fear, but there is a lot of fear there. But I can't imagine being in New Orleans 3 days by myself at 12 years old trying to figure out what do I do. And so they're running all over. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the church, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you," King James Version, "thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought thee worrying." Dave Meek's Version, "Son, what is wrong with your brain? Don't you know who you are? Have you lost your mind? You can't, we ought to carry you from one end to the other. Come on." I don't know what they really said, but here's the part that just blows my mind. "And he said to them, how is it that you sought me?" It's a question. Why couldn't you find me? Why couldn't you find me? Mom? Dad? "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" What a statement. 12 years old, millions of people. 3 days. I don't know what he did for those 3 days. Did the Levites or the priests or the Pharisees or the Sadducees take him in, or did he sleep on a corner with some guy that was homeless? I don't know what he did. But I know this. In the midst of that situation, he was filled with peace. He was filled with joy. He was filled with confidence. He was filled with the presence of God because he made a decision, "I will be about the Father's business." But you may not be getting what I'm saying, but here's the message today. When we make the decision to say, "I'll be about the Father's business," and step over the threshold in trusting him, you can guarantee the peace that passes understanding and the joy unspeakable will consume your life. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." That's his promise. That's his promise. I've been just sitting meditating and saying, God, as Christians, what do we really have? The brother spoke on it, that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Joy unspeakable. Have you ever thought about that? He says you'll have joy unspeakable and peace that passes understanding. What that means is the joy that you can walk in is so incredible that people can't comprehend it. You can't even describe it. They look at you daily and say, "My God, what do you have? I want some of that." And the lifestyle of peace that you walk in all the time, the world looks at your life and says, "I've got to have what they have because their peace is so full." At least that's the way it's supposed to be. A 12-year-old boy in a city of millions by himself does not have a cell phone, does not have internet, cannot make a phone call, has nobody. We spoke in my class about Joseph, how they sold him into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt. He had nobody. All he could do, all Joseph could do, was either shrink down and self-destruct or grab a hold of God. Our option. Jesus, in this position, with nobody around, finds himself about the business of the Father. That was his focus. That was his mind. I don't know if he already knew. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I know this much. When he made the decision to be about what the Father's telling him to do, he stepped into a realm. I don't care if I'm 12 years old and it looks like I'm alone, but I'm not. I'm so filled with God's presence and peace and joy around me that I'm confused why my parents could not find me. Did you hear me?
Brother Dave, what's that got to do with us today?
A lot.
Because I have found over the years that many people are called by God, but few choose to step over the threshold to the next place of growth in their lives. Many are called by God. We're saved. We're born again. We're even filled with the Spirit, and the power is within us. But we won't step over the threshold to that next place with God. And because that's the way, listen to me close, we're saved. Please forgive me. We're saved. We're filled with His Spirit. We can speak in tongues. We can pray. We can prophesy. But when God says it's time to cross over, if we don't, we're no longer about the Father's business. We're about our own. Did you hear me? I'm saved, I'm filled, I'm thrilled, I'm witnessing, I can do everything I want. But as Brother Casey said, when the cloud moves, I must move. God does not save us to keep us stagnant. He does not stagnate us to say, I'm just going to keep you. What I find is when you don't do anything, you just kind of dry up. So God has a plan for your life. Everyone look at somebody and say, God has a plan for your life. Tell them this, it's the cross, the threshold. And I want you to know something, there's more than one. Matter of fact, how many believe God has a divine destiny for you? Here's the problem with the church. Listen to me. I believe in God, I've had prophecies, and the Spirit of God has spoken to me. I'm going to preach to thousands, so I'm trying to live my life to preach to the thousands that are 10 years down the road. My problem is I can't understand that my destiny is not over there. My destiny is right here. One step at a time. Are you hearing me? One threshold at a time is your divine destiny. Brother Dave, God's going to do. Listen to me. God is already doing. Just keep doing what God's doing today and watch and see what He'll bring you. Sometimes we're so focused on something that we think down the road that we forget today as our destiny. So here I am, I'm saved. And God says, okay, it's time for you to step a little bit closer. Come on across the threshold. I'm going to repeat myself. If I stay on this side of the door, I'm stagnant and I'm not about the Father's business. And so I have to call brother or sister such and such. Please, if you're offended, be if you need to, and don't be if you don't need to be. In love. Brother, would you pray for me? It's just a real bad life right now. I have no joy. I have no peace. I have no strength. Please, just speak in tongues over me or prophesy. Just give me a word that I can hang on. Just a single word. I want to hang on to something. I'll give you a word. Step over the threshold. You see, Christians act empty. We act empty. We're miserable sometimes. We're frustrated. We're wondering. Where are you at? Where's she at? So listen, where's your mom? There she is. Stand up, Carolyn. Wave at everybody. Isn't she beautiful?
Yes.
We love you. You can sit back down. The other day, I said, I got to have a mentor. I hope I don't embarrass you. If I do, get over it, Jesus. Say to me strong. She said, I got to have a mentor, Brother Dave, because I feel called to evangelize, but I don't know what to do. I said, well, I don't picture you as a mentor, but I'll look her up. So I sent her with Bay Ray to go to the convalescent home. And someone got saved at the convalescent home. She came back excited, but she still said, I don't know what to do. When did you go to Walmart? Monday or Tuesday, she just happened to decide to do what the Spirit of God is driving her, and she just went over there and started witnessing to anybody she could grab a hold of. Carolyn, you stepped over the threshold.
you a question. After you left Walmart parking lot, did you have peace? Huh? You had peace and joy, huh? Most of you go to Walmart after you spend that $260. There is no peace and no joy. You walk out of this and, oh God, this was horrible. I mean, I told my wife, I said, when did food cost so much, I just wanted to stop eating and take a pill. Someone invent a pill. I'll pay you $100 a week if it'll take care of the week. It's expensive. We leave there miserable. She crossed over the threshold that day. That day, we stepped into a place where righteousness, peace, the joy of the Holy Ghost consumed her. Are you understanding when we're about the Father's business? Those are His promises. And if you feel as a Christian empty or wore out or discouraged, you can't find your peace, you can't find your joy, tell God, say, would you show me the threshold for today that I'm supposed to step over so that I can be about my Father's business? And the 12-year-old can have peace for 3 days because he's about the Father's business. How much will you have? We don't cross over because of fear. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. What will people think? You know, we're in a position we really, especially with the young people, we don't like to give them much opportunity to say no or I can't. Because it's in them, they just don't know. I mean, Mary got up in this morning and there was no hesitancy. But did you see her kick out of first gear? Oh, Father God, in Jesus. She shifted. You may start out slow, but I'm going to tell you, just start out. Just start out. And you're going to shift in that gear. I mean, I distinctly heard when the Holy Ghost took over. I'm standing right here, and I said, uh-huh, there it went. You see, that's how He is. But we must be willing to take that step. Don't look and say, God, what's the great thing you're going to do in my life somewhere in the future? Thank God for the prophetic words, the promises that are going to be in front of us that we're going to one day do. But think about today. God, what is the threshold? Is it the gas station attendant or the girl at Subway or the man in Walmart parking lot? What is it? Is it my neighbor, my mother, my brother, my cousin, my uncle? Or is it a little girl named Destiny that an entire church has to say, God, we'll shut down and we're going to hammer heaven because you're a miracle-working God? Is it getting out of your seat and just walking around the building? As silly and foolish as that seems, it yields results. Fear, peer pressure, and our own flesh are our greatest opponents trying to stop us from passing over that threshold. The place that God has prepared for you, over the threshold, over the threshold will always be commitment, obedience, holiness, and a place of surrender. I have not met anybody that walks in those four items or four things or attributes, whatever you want to call it, commitment, obedience, holiness, and surrender, that are not at peace. They are, because that's the destiny. It is the place of your destiny as a child of God. You have a God that said, I created the heavens and the earth. I bring the church. I bring life into the church on the day of Pentecost. I have a plan. He's like a giant general of an army, and you're a part of that army. I don't care. You can say, well, Brother Dave, you don't know what I did. I did this. I did this. And let me just say this. I'm going to be straightforward. It's time for you to quit worrying about trying to figure out how to hang on to your salvation and just start doing the stuff you're called to do and let God worry about fixing the mess inside your life. Because if you're so busy crossing the threshold and you come in, hey, Brother Dave, this guy got saved today. Hey, Brother Dave, I witnessed to my neighbor. Hey, Brother Dave, you won't believe what God did here. Hey, Brother Dave, God told me to do this and look what happened. Hey, Brother, you're so busy testifying about the things of God because you're so busy crossing the threshold that God has put before you. Hey, you don't have time to look back at all the garbage. You see, when we're complacent and our mind lays idle, that's when the enemy takes all the garbage and reminds us about it. If you're so busy running fast in God, your junk will get behind you instead of in front of you. You're not led by your garbage. You're led by the Spirit of God, and the garbage will fall off. It's the place where we walk with peace and joy, real authority and strong anointing. Let me repeat it. Crossing the threshold. You want to know why? Because when you step over that, you're in a mandate from God, and God's word cannot return void. I don't care if you're brand new or who you are. Listen, last night we had some miracles in this house. Last night there were some things that went on. Why? Because one young man decided, I'm going to follow the mandate of God. And he opened his mouth last night and he preached what God said to preach. Then he gave the altar call for what God said to give the altar call. That's why asthmas were healed, and that's why arthritis was healed, because he listened and did what the Father said. Right in the middle of the service, the Lord said, you're done preaching, you did a good job. Now step over the threshold of healing for arthritis. Now step over the threshold of healing for asthma. Are you understanding? There are thresholds in our life. Today when you walk out of here, God wants to do something with your life. All we've got to do is say, Lord, help my ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church so that I can be obedient. The second you're obedient to God, the second you're obedient to His voice, the second you step over that threshold, your heart will start beating. Peace will rise up. Joy will be unspeakable and full of glory. It's the place of our destiny is what it is. I'm a convinced believer in this statement. We have two destinies, the divine destiny and the devil's destiny. And the devil tries to get us to walk down that path. You know that. We all see it. But the moment we choose the destiny that God has, I want you to know something. My life is wonderful. Depends on who you talk to. But I would not trade what I have right now and what's going on in my life for anything. I wouldn't do it. I'm not trying to in any way brag, any way, shape, or form. But this is priceless, guys. Do you understand? This is priceless. This is priceless. I don't think they hear me. This is priceless. Casey, when you walked up here to that altar that morning, where are you at, baby? There you are in the back. And you walked up here. You got so saved. You got radically saved. I know you've had some battles in your life, we all do, but that girl is a fireball for Jesus Christ. And one of many. I'm just picking certain ones out. But when she came up here, I'm going to tell you, you're worth every battle I've ever faced in my entire life to get in this position. You're worth every battle I have ever faced just to see your heart has turned to God. And many of the others, I'm just picking them out. How awesome it is. We would not trade anything. All I'm saying is, God, help me step over the next threshold. Today is a threshold. We walk in peace, we walk in joy, we walk in authority, and we walk in a stronger anointing because we know we're about to follow the business. And that's why Jesus had such confidence. Did you hear what I said? He said to his mother, why were you looking for me? As if he thought she should know where he would be. You can preach all kinds of stuff off of that. We'll just get lost because we're in the wrong place. This place is a place of your spiritual DNA. That threshold is a place where you are one with God. When we say, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we're lining up. We're lining up. We're lining up with heaven's desire. When we cross the threshold of obedience. This is why Christians feel incomplete. Because we're not stepping over the threshold. It's for you right now. I told the kids this morning, Jeremiah 29:11, that was our text. I know the plans I have for you. One of the verses says, the King James says, I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts to prosper you. To bless you and to bring to you an expected end. God knows.
Someone might say, well, Brother Dave, I've blown it 573.4 times. God knew you were going to blow it 573.4 times or whatever it is. He knew already you were going to blow it. He took an account of your mistakes and he gave you a destiny. Now you just repent and say, here I am, God. Here I am. I want to end with this and see what God does. At least some of you have changed lives in the bag. Just a minute. Joseph, in the Bible, was sold to slavery. He was 17 years old. It wasn't his fault that he had a good heart. He saw his brothers messing up and told his dad. The brothers got jealous. He's the youngest one. How many know the youngest baby in the house gets a lot more attention? Daddy kind of favored his boy, so he gave him a coat of many colors. And it wasn't Joseph's fault that he had a dream. And they were building sheaves, and his brother's sheaves all bowed down to his. It wasn't his fault that he had a dream that the sun and the moon bowed down to him too. It wasn't his fault that his father sent him out and said, go check on your brothers one more time. And this time the brother said, we're going to kill him, and we'll see what becomes of his dream. And they threw him in a hole. Then they brought him up and sold him to the Israelites. He ended up coming to Egypt as a slave. But he kept his heart for God. He gets falsely accused. You know the story. He ends up in prison. Probably life. And you say, wow, how bad it can be. But he kept his integrity with God. And the next thing you know, he ended up running to Egypt. The next thing you know, all of his brothers came down and bowed before this new governor, who was their brother. The next thing you know, his mom and dad came. They didn't have to bow down, but they gave honor to their son, who now is second in charge in Egypt. And that's a crazy long story, a long journey. The part I love best about the story I told the kids, I am closing, is when Joseph, finally his dad's coming to meet him. The Bible says Joseph took off to see his father and he jumped off that chariot, that horse, whatever it was, and ran and everything embraced. Read the story, that'll just bring you to tears. But I want you to know this. Joseph looks at his brothers. He makes a statement. He says, they're about to think we're going to die. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. What the devil means for evil, God will turn for good. He spoke about the scriptures. All things work together for the good of the Lord. For a power for new purpose. You see God in the plan. You're not in this alone. You're not abandoned, you're not trying to figure it out. As he puts a threshold in front of you, don't stop, don't set up camp, just step through. When he says, okay, here's the next step, just step through. And the thing I found out about God, I told the kids, not too long ago, I'm trying to do this. Just messing with another little kid. I was 27 years old. When you listen to this, I was 27 years old when God spoke to me. I loved the Lord my whole life. I went to church. I went to prayer meetings. I crossed over every threshold that was in front of me. And God never spoke to me one time about my future. Did you hear me? He never spoke to me one time about my future. He just said, I want you to love me and trust me. I told the kids, it would be wonderful if God would send us the facts and tell us everything about our life that we're supposed to do. But if he did that, we don't need faith anymore. There's no need for faith. So he never told me one single thing about my life except for living and loving. 27 years old, I'm minding my own business, I'm working, and God said, it's time I said, time for what? And it's almost like it's unfair. Because here's what God did before he said that question. He walked inside of my body. I'm just being silly for a minute. And this area where I've been blind for all these years, that I didn't know I was supposed to be a pastor or a minister. I had no idea. He says, I'm going to pull this blind off. And he opened this whole doorway. He said, hey, Dave, it's time. Time for what, Lord? This is the truth. Time for what? Time for ministry for the business world. And it's like the blinders were taken off, and I knew my whole life, but didn't have any idea about it, I was calling to ministry. But it was his timing. He never spoke to me about my future until he was ready. My job was to live my future day by being obedient to him and crossing the threshold. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery, the last you hear about him is he had a dream and God didn't tell him anything else. From the dream to prison, God's just silent. Live it, son, live it. And then all of a sudden, God says, it's time. And his future exploded in front of him in leadership. Abraham was called by God. Abraham had no idea. God called him, and you have these periods. It's like 30 years God doesn't say anything to Abraham. He says, just live it. One threshold at a time. Is anybody understanding me? If you think God can wake you up every day and tell you what it doesn't have, I wish it did. But then there'd be no need for faith. Your job is to get up and say, God, what threshold do you have for me to do today? That's what I'm doing. I trust you with my life. And the next one, God, I trust you with my life. At 17 years old, 18 years old, I graduated high school. We weren't looking for college. I just said, God, I need a job. Guide me to the right place. That's all it took, and he did. My job was just to live the life on the journey, and I was blessed. I need 4 hours to preach. The older I get, the more I want to preach. I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to stop. Brother Marcus, I'm going to stop. Close to the Marcus. I have 2 eyes. I'll leave both of you. Psalms chapter 1. I'm going to read it. I'll be done. Psalms. At 17 years old, at 16 years old, at 27 years old, at 30 years old, at 56 years old, I've lived off of this scripture. It is burned in my heart, and I will not let it go, because it's his promise. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in God's law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's my life in a nutshell. That's your life. God says, here's a threshold. Jump over that dude and start shouting, hallelujah! Show me the next one, God. Because your peace and your joy and your victory are right on the other side of that door. Come on, give the Lord a big hand this morning. Amen. Can we see the word? And I know if I pick on you, if I call you out, understand this. You are loved. You are loved. If any of you dare miss a day and think somebody doesn't care, shame on that liar that's telling you that. But we love you. We love you. You are God's crafting, workmanship, the beauty of his hand. Mark, it was so good to have you and your family here. Yeah, the beauty of that is these babies are just raised by them. How awesome is it? One thing that said, go out and get saved, it's another thing to birth them or to adopt them. They still got to get right. They know the process. Thank God, all my grandchildren love the Lord. But they have grown into it. And now the two that were... I told the Lord, I said, I don't have no wild oats to sow. Don't you believe that lie? Don't you believe the lie if someone says you have wild oats to sow and you'll come back? That's straight from hell. Because you might not come back. I said, God, you blessed me as a child to receive you. So I refuse that there's any spirit of rebellion that can be on any of my children. It will not be. It will not be. It will not be. It may have taken some power for the two that were adopted, but they don't want to be used to it. It doesn't get any better than that, church. When your kids look and say, I want to do what you do. Do they look at you and say, I want to be like you? Or do you look at them and say, I want to be like you? Ouch. You're the leader. Live the life. Cross the threshold. They want to look up to you. They want to say, I want to be like my mom, my dad. I want to cross the thresholds. I've watched them grow. And I want to do what they do. Well, Brother Dave, I messed up. Stop. Just get up and cross the threshold. Sorry, I'm a little emotional today. Been that way for weeks. I can't stop it. Father, I thank you for this family. Because we are one family. I ask you, Lord, to bless our children and our children's children. I ask you, God, for each of us that we will leave this building today saying, God, show me the threshold for my tomorrow. Don't let me set up camp on the wrong side of the door. And Lord, let us walk in your righteousness, your peace, and your joy in the Holy Ghost. We give you the honor this morning and the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord one more big hand. Thank you, baby. For those that don't know, we have been praying over these names of people in the church all week long. So take your name, 1, 2, 3, or 4 names, take them, and carry where you're at.
I'm coming.
Okay, so you're going to get them by the front door. And come tonight for Sister June for 7 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for joining the broadcast today at the Mama June Hour. I pray that you've been blessed, and we will see you again next time. God bless you.